Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Carrie Aller and Friends Coffee Chat. Today, I have with me my sweet friend, Rebecca. Hey, girl.
Hey, what's
up? How are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're at Higher Grounds in Oklahoma City, and I love this coffee shop.
I do, too. This is like a sweet treat. We moved up to Edmond 3 years ago when I got married, but we used to come here all the time. Love this place.
Yeah, I do, too. And I love the fact that, like, it's Christian-owned, and, you know, you can feel it when you walk in, you know.
Right.
So,
it's peaceful when you walk in.
It is.
It's everything you want when you have a cup of coffee.
That's right. And there's, like, a little fireplace, which I love, like, in the winter, like, to come here. And
right.
Just, like, you know.
Wooden accents, kind of modern, kind
That's
of cozy.
Right.
Everything you dream about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, okay. So, Rebecca, like, tell us a little bit about Tea for the Soul and what that is, and I want to promote that business, and then we can kind of go into the other stuff.
Okay, so, awesome. Yeah. So, Tea for the Soul is a women's clothing store. It started by, so it is a family-owned business. My mother-in-law and father-in-law are both the owners, and then it's really cool because, like, our whole family has kind of gotten to work. I married into the family business. I was married to the business before I married the son in the business. I just loved the company and the mission so much, but it started out as a t-shirt screen printing shop in her living room. She just printed tees. It was a hobby. Her kids were growing up. And as her kids kind of started getting out of the house, you know, she was like, okay, like, you know, I need something to do. I need something to kind of pour myself into. And so she started pouring it into that t-shirt company and expanded into, at the time, it was mostly small through large in like online boutiques and stuff. And she was like, well, you know, I have a lot of people who are, you know, 1X, size 14, 15, 16, who are asking for these pieces and they don't have them. And so her mission kind of became, you know, it's based on the verse, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
And she was like, so, you know, all women, all shapes, all body sizes should be able to get to do that and express themselves with their clothes.
Yeah.
So she began branching out, finding, you know, manufacturers that would be willing to make those items in the popular items, not just, you know, dresses and muumuus and the solids that everyone had.
Yes.
And
the ugly clothes.
Right.
The muumuus.
Yes.
We all know the muumuus. And just like fun pieces like that that were affordable.
Yeah.
And she, so I think it's been open now for, I think we're going on maybe 9 years, 10 years, something like that. And her husband actually wound up quitting. He was a car guy. He worked in the car business, worked like 80 hours a week. And then she basically like was like, I need help running this company.
Yeah.
And he quit his job in the car business to go help her run this t-shirt company that has become this like huge, you know, online retail business.
Yes.
We have like over 70 employees.
Yes.
We have 3 storefronts. We have an online store, and the whole goal is anyone could walk in. I could walk in with my mom and we could both find great things that fit both of us. Completely different ages, completely different sizes.
Yes.
And affordably priced.
Yes.
And I think the people reflect that too. So it's really cool.
Oh yeah. And like you, one of the stores, I think you guys moved, but I know at one time you had a runway.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah. So each store does still have a runway.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
And it's like super fun because we tell people to walk the catwalk.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come in and it's just like a celebration. We had our Broken Arrow store open last fall.
Wow.
And we had like the first week, oh my gosh, it made me straight up bawl. She posted in our groupies page. So we have like, you know, our Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
And the Tea for the Soul groupie, she went and posted in there that like she had, you know, been going through a lot of medical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And her body shape and size, she's in a wheelchair, so her body shape and size had changed a lot since her surgeries and stuff.
Right.
And she came in, like, it was, like, the first day we opened, and her husband took her in there, like, in the wheelchair.
Aww.
And our girls, like, helped her try stuff on, helped her in the fitting rooms, like, helped her.
Aww.
And she ended the day walking on the catwalk in one of her items, and she was like, I have not gotten to wear this size in forever. Like, these clothes fit. Like, I feel so good in them.
Yes.
And so we're crying. She's crying.
Aww.
Like, all of groupies is crying.
Yes.
And it's just, like, those are, that is what the company is about.
Right.
It's just
right.
reminding women, like, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Every shape, every size, every walk of life.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. And I'm a curvy girl. And so I appreciate that, like, going in that store and knowing that whatever I'm going to try on is going to fit and that I'm going to feel good in it.
Right.
And I love that. Right. And I always try to wear something from Tea for the Soul when I go speak or whatever, because I love that store. So
no, that makes me so happy. Yeah. Like, it just, because I'm biased. Like, I love that store, of course.
Of course, yes.
But it's just the people are great. Like, you were talking about Tammy.
Yeah.
You know, she's like a women's size 18, 20.
Love her.
She's in her 50s, drop dead gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Cute
gorgeous.
As can be.
Yes.
You know, and so when you got someone like that coming up to you, be like, oh, honey, no, you can absolutely wear this. Yes. Like, you can't tell her no.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way.
Exactly.
But she, you know, people like that just make it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, like, what kind of, I guess, you know, this whole world that we're in right now, I mean, everything's turned upside down. Everything's crazy. You know, what are some things that you've seen in the business, like, that have been maybe a struggle or even good things, too, like, that you've seen?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with everything coming out, like, obviously, you know, the news is super negative. Anything in, you know,
yes.
A lot of businesses are taking a hit. It's either... what is it? I heard it in the news the other day. It was like either crash and burn
right.
or it was flourishing.
Right.
And like one of the hardest things is like reassuring like your people. Like
yeah.
I said, we have over 70 people that work there.
Yeah.
And they're looking towards, you know, management and the owners, especially of a Christian company,
mm-hmm.
you know, to lead them through it. And it's really intimidating because you want to reassure, but you don't know either.
Right.
Like, you don't know what's next. And so we've just really watched, you know, God has always led where Tea for the Soul goes in big picture. And it's really cool to see how he has provided overall, like, such a peace.
Yeah.
With, you know, our leadership, Tony and Jerry, like I said, own the business.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of the uncertainty, like, they've been able to kind of help navigate through it and do so without panicking
yeah.
or running for the hills
yeah.
or, you know, blowing through. But, like, when your faith is in God so strong that you can be like, I don't know what the heck is going on,
right.
but I know you've got it.
Right.
It takes a lot of the weight off because you know there's nothing you can do about it.
That's
like,
right.
it wasn't in your hands to begin with.
Right.
So it was really cool because a few months, maybe August of last year,
mm-hmm.
Jerry has never, like, experienced... She won't have a problem with me telling you this because she's all about the testimony. But she was talking about how she was experiencing, like, anxiety, like, a lot of anxiety. And, you know, she was like, I've never felt this way. And... she couldn't figure out because she's never experienced it before why she was feeling so uneasy. And coming into this year, we were like, I don't think it was anxiety. I think God was, you know, the Holy Spirit was, you know, making you uncomfortable. He was, you know, trying to talk to you and make sure you were listening to
right.
what was coming. And she started putting money aside in the business. She was like, I don't know why. We just need to put money aside. Like, we don't know what's coming. Like, I don't know what's going on. And she's always been a frugal person,
yeah.
but never like this.
Yeah.
You know, and so her, you know, up at work, you know, she's like, we're going to pull this money for inventory. And she's like, no, we're going to put this money to the side. And we're like, why are we putting this money to the side?
Yeah.
You know, this is a business decision. Like, we need inventory. And she did that. She listened and she kept putting the money to the side. And once she got to a certain number, she was like, okay, like, we, you know, we can move forward.
Uh-huh.
Hit March of this year, Tea for the Soul shuts down for like 3 weeks and our three store locations shut down for like almost 2 months.
Mm.
And we were able to keep all of our employees on. We were able to pay our rent. We were able to pay like all of our stuff
without going
into any debt, without taking
yeah.
out any loans.
Yeah.
Like, and it was because that money was set aside because Holy Spirit was talking to her last year.
That's right.
You know, and then they had the business loans and stuff that were coming out for like payroll, you know, to help people keep people on. And, you know, there was something that happened 2 or 3 years ago. It wound up making them switch banks. And at the time, it was really frustrating. But because they switched banks 3 years ago, we were able to be approved for, like, for the grants and stuff that were going to help keep the business afloat
yeah.
while we were going through it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, all this little stuff that at the time was really frustrating and, you know, felt like a setback.
Right.
And God's like, no, like, that was me setting you up for, like...
That's right.
...this huge thing that was coming. And since then, you know, it's a lot... There's a lot less to worry about when you're like, oh, no, like, the bills are paid.
Yeah.
Like, God took care of those.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we don't... You know, the employees can, you know, go home. Like, they're good.
Mm.
Like, you know, so just...
That's
It's
powerful.
Cool to see all that little stuff. All the little stuff and the big stuff lines up. And it's because she listened.
Yeah.
And they listened.
Yeah.
You know.
That's so important. Like... not even just as a business owner, but in our daily lives, to like be open to listen to the Holy Spirit and whatever He's guiding you to do. Like, you have to listen.
Right.
I love it.
And it's interesting too, because sometimes like being, you know, being a Christian and, you know, spirit led and then also making business decisions, like both are important, because there is wisdom, you know what I mean, in making business decision. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, be as cunning as, as cunning as a fox. You know, you can be very business savvy and still make Christian spirit led decisions and vice versa. And that's then other times, that's how you know it's Holy Spirit, because it's like, this does not make business sense. But I like, for her, this, I feel so uneasy. Like, something needs to happen here. And what would have been not made, you know, what would not have made sense for last year, August, to pull money back from inventory to set to the side, wound up being the reason why we could make smart business decisions now, because they weren't out of desperation.
Right.
Like, they were in confidence.
Right.
And so that was pretty, that's pretty dang cool.
That is really cool. And, you know, God's not logical.
No.
I mean, Jesus telling people like, hey, you know, spit in this, I'm going to spit in this dirt and you're going to wipe it on your eyes. Like, that doesn't seem like, you know, logical.
Right.
But God doesn't operate that way. And I love that she was open to listening to the Holy Spirit again, like that wisdom. It might not have made sense to anybody else, but. Yeah, that's good.
And it's just, it's really cool. Because at the time, you know, there were arguments at work. We were like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? but she, you know, so now the joke is like, maybe we should be listening more. Because obviously that was the right decision. But like, it's just really cool. Because, you know, when you listen, you're led, like I said, all the big stuff and the little stuff will line up. And then again, that's a business decision in itself. You're not making decisions out of desperation all the time. You're making them in faith and in wisdom, both.
That's so good. That's so good. And I love the testimony of, like, you know, those that were watching and that were experiencing it. They were kind of questioning at the time, but now they're like, maybe I need to listen more to the Holy Spirit. Like,
I was one of them. I was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And I am a big, I'm all for penny pinching, being frugal, like, you know, but, it's just really cool to see that. Cause you get the reminder of, you know, you don't know best. You don't always know best. Holy Spirit knows best.
Yes.
I had to tell myself to shut up.
You and me both, girl.
I'm like, no, I know. No, you don't know.
No. Like, I totally get it. I'm like Peter. I'm emotional. Like, I've taken a personality test and it said I'm like 99 point something feelings. And so, I get in trouble for that. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Like,
I still feel, but I'm going to try to rein it in.
That's right.
The reactivity I'll rein in. The emotions I can't help.
Exactly. So, okay. So what would you say to the ones maybe right now that they're in a business and maybe like they're feeling discouraged right now? Like, I don't know how I'm even going to continue my business. You know, what would you say to them right now?
So I would say biggest thing is make sure you are taking the time to stop and pray. Like, you really need to be listening. And I believe that's a two-way street. I think you should be listening to Holy Spirit. I think you should be praying.
Yeah.
And then I also think, like, you know, there is wisdom in knowledge. Like, you should be reading. A lot of people have pivoted their businesses. A lot of people have completely changed the way they're running their companies. They've added products to their line. They've taken products away from their line.
Right.
You know, I went, where was it? I went to Panda Express a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And they only had their bestsellers on their menu and they were still packed.
Yeah.
Like, they, like, these huge companies are pivoting. If these big companies are having to do that, these smaller companies probably are too.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't sit and wait it out and see if something's going to happen. Like, sit down, pray about it, and then start taking small baby step actions to, you know, move yourself in a direction to where your company's moving somewhere. It doesn't matter where, just start moving it.
That's good.
Because if you sit and hang out, a lot of these companies that were like, hey, you know, we'll just sit and wait, you know, unfortunately, those are the ones that aren't making it.
Yeah.
You know, which is sad.
Yeah.
But it's also business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So what advice would you give someone right now that maybe is just feeling, maybe they're not necessarily a business owner, but maybe they're just feeling discouraged. I mean, just with everything going on, what would you say to them?
The good thing is we all feel that way.
Yes.
You're definitely not by yourself.
Exactly.
The people who are flourishing right now felt that way at some point, you know, like, for sure. So I would say the biggest thing is definitely getting your word, and definitely like your friends and family that are there. Mm-hmm. You need to reach out to them and talk to them. There's a reason like community is important. There's we have churches. There's a reason we have Bible study groups.
Right.
It's because, you know, iron sharpens iron. You're meant to be with other people. So, you know, if that's your spouse, if that's an aunt, if that's an uncle, if that's a pastor, if that's, you know, your best friend that you grew up, like, call them and tell them what you're feeling. Just make sure it doesn't fall into a gripe and whine session.
That's good.
Because you're just going to spiral yourself deeper down that role. Like, end it with, these are my feelings. This is why, you know, I'm feeling this way. This is what I'm struggling with. You know, this is what I'm going to pray about.
Right.
These is, you know, if I start doing this week, this will probably help with this aspect of it. You know, make sure it's always goal-oriented and action-oriented, even if it's just, for the next 2 or 3 days, I'm just going to sit and pray. Like, I'm just going to rest and pray because that's what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so I'd say that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're such an instant gratification world, too, that we forget just to slow down.
Right.
I think that's something that we've all taken away from this is, like, the beauty of slowing down.
100%.
The beauty of, like, just sitting with your family.
Right.
You know? Because we're so quick-paced, and there's always something on the calendar, and there's always something to do, but we just need to slow down.
I realized, you know, during that, because we were at work, we kind of did these, like, split shift schedules. So some of us were working, you know, 2-3 days a week. Some of us were working 4 days a week.
Yeah.
As opposed to normally, you know, 5-6 days, whatever it wound up being. And I was telling my husband, one thing I took away from it was I do not have to be as busy as I make myself.
That's right.
You know, because I was having to fit 5 days worth of work into 3, you know, for the shifts or do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we would leave each week. Everything is done. You know what I mean? We see no loss in sales or whatever it was. But everything's done. But everyone's working with less hours.
Yeah.
With less mistakes.
Yeah.
And we were like, I think we've been adding a lot of steps to stuff just to fill, you know, whether it's to fill the time or because
that's
we felt like we were being lazy if we didn't.
Right.
And it really forced us to streamline, like, no, these are the things that matter for these 3 days. These are the only things we do.
That's so good.
And then you finish and you're like, oh, I guess those are the only things that matter.
So it's like a perspective shift.
Right.
I mean, I think everyone's experienced that.
Right.
Just with everything.
Well, because, you know, a lot of people, including mine, number one thing is I don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time.
Right.
And I realized I have time. It's either that's not a priority or I have added to make it to where I don't have time. Like, if that makes sense. Like,
no,
I've buried myself.
Right.
And I'm a workaholic. So, like, I love it. I go work every day. You know, I just finished. I just graduated from college.
Yeah.
And I would, like, I was going to school full time and then I was working full time. And then, you know, like, we were trying to, like, fix up our house.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I don't have to be this busy at night.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's been a shift, too. Since I've graduated, I'm like, oh, I have evenings.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on graduating. That's awesome, girl.
Yeah.
And then you got a baby on the way.
And then I got a baby on the way.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
So I gave myself one semester off. I finished college this summer.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a baby at the end of December. So I told her, I was like, I gave myself one semester.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. That's really great.
Yeah. So, but. It's just really cool to see how that, you know, pans out. That was a huge shift for us.
And I loved what you said earlier, too. Like, we got to remember, like, there's Bible studies, there's church, there's things to, like, be attached to when you do feel down or whatever.
Right.
And unfortunately, we're in this day and age where people are wanting to just stay home all the time.
Right.
Which, I mean, I get it. Like, there's a lot of fear going around.
Right.
And fear is running crazy right now with everybody.
Right.
And we're not meant to be an island, though. We're meant to have those relationships and build each other up. So
No, and I think that because they have, you know, so everything right now is social distancing and masks and putting space between you and the person next to you. And, like, God didn't make us that way. We were made for connection.
Yep.
Like, you know, everything in the Bible is relational. Everything, you know, Jesus and the disciples was relational.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you are, you know, if you are going to be staying home, make sure you're keeping those connections open. Phone call, Skype, you know, FaceTime, you know, those people. Like, I say as impersonal as it sounds, like, send an email to somebody in your thing, you know what I mean? And hear from somebody, let somebody pour into you and pour back into them.
Right.
Because when it's just you, you miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You lack it.
And, you know, I've been in ministry a long time. started when I was a senior in high school. I became, you know, on staff at a church, like, so
right.
a long time, and I know the word of God, but even myself, like, during the season, I got so empty at one point.
Right.
I think it was, I was filling my mind with the media and all the things
right.
and letting it get me down and almost filling myself up with that stuff more than God's word.
Right.
And it's just so easy to do.
Right.
And so
what's everywhere. You open up right. your Facebook and there it is. You open right. up your Instagram and there it is.
Right.
You know, the radio, TV, anything.
Exactly.
There it is.
Actually,
you see someone in the grocery store and they're talking to you from 6 feet away through their mask. Like, man, doesn't this suck? Like, you know, times are tough.
Right.
And if you have 40 people a day telling you times are tough, this sucks, you're going to believe times are tough and, you know, this sucks.
yes.
And God doesn't say that.
Right.
times are tough, this sucks. That has never come into in my book.
No. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Yeah, right. So I've read it cover to cover. It's not there.
Right.
Yeah.
quote.
Yeah. exactly.
And then he said to them, and I quote, this sucks.
In red letters. oh my goodness.
I like that.
Yeah. yeah, but like, you know, no matter how seasoned you are as a Christian, like, it's easy to feel empty. So it is so important to get filled up, and it's important to know God's word. If you don't know God's word, you're going to be easily swayed. You're going to be easily defeated because you don't have that truth in your life.
Right. We had to do the same thing because, like I said, we pulled off of work. Obviously, like, churches, you know, our church was shut down for a while.
Yeah.
And they did, like, online services and stuff, you know. And it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't.
Like, you know, I don't get that same, like, connected feeling that I get when I walk, you know.
Right.
And so that's, like, a big shift of, like, I've got to get over my feelings and make sure I'm connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because normally my church life is easy doesn't mean I get to abandon it when it's not easy.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a big kick in the pants for me. you know,
yeah.
so the last, I would say, honestly, the last month, my husband and I were talking about, we need to be more intentional about making sure we're keeping these connections open.
That's good.
You know, we're reading, we're praying, we're being involved in that
because
it's easy to fall back from it when everything's shut down.
Oh, yeah.
You can just pull back.
Yeah.
And That'll send you down the hole real quick.
it will. And I know even a lot of seasoned Christians that are right now, like, they're at home and they're not going to church. They're watching from home. But then eventually it gets to a point where it's easy to just kind of get out of that routine of going to church or listening to church or whatever.
Right.
And we've got to, as the body of Christ, we've got to try to encourage each other to stay connected and all those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, I'm grateful that we have online church. I'm grateful that we have these online platforms that, you know, we can still do services.
Right.
You know, we can still, if this had been, you know, 40 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just, we'd really be disconnected.
Oh,
imagine
the
rates of, you know, suicide and depression and stuff with that. You know what I mean? Like, people are just, there's no one.
Yeah.
And
for
so
sure.
I am grateful for that. But
yes.
Yeah, but it's just not the same.
It's
not the same when I tune in online as when I walk into and I see my friends at church and
right.
I can hug their neck and pray with them and, you know, tell them about my life and they tell me about theirs and we worship together. It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I am with you. Well, so this is going to be kind of random. Like, so what shows on Netflix, like, are you watching right now?
Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's amazing.
It's my childhood. Like, it's just, that is my childhood, man. Like, I came home with all the, like, negative and sad stuff everywhere. I cannot get into anything, you know, because there's, like, you know, there's all these documentaries that are coming out. I'm like, I cannot jump on this bandwagon.
Right.
I need something funny. I need something light. So we're watching The Office and we're watching The Last Airbender. And it's keeping my mood real high.
Okay, like, I was expecting something like The Office or something, but we're like, The Last Airbender.
Well, I think part of what it is, like, you know, we found out we're having a boy in December, and I'm like, I want them to grow up with this show. Like, that was, like I said, growing up, that was just, like, my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
My dad, because, you know, Avatar The Last Airbender, they had, like, a live-action movie.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
It was awful.
Yeah, that's
it
what everyone said.
It was terrible. It was not the same.
Yeah.
But I was talking to my dad about it a few weeks ago. He was like, oh, I saw that movie. I liked it. And I was like, you know nothing.
Yeah.
That movie was a tragedy.
Yeah. See, I liked it, too. And then everyone, like yourself, like, no, that was bad. I didn't know the difference.
Well, it was just, like, I'm sure by itself it was good. It
right.
was just, like, the show is very, like, quirky and bubbly and, like, it's definitely it's a children's show, yeah. But there's a lot of jokes in there that are designed to be, you know, cross-generational. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I could hear it and think that was hilarious, and yeah. So could a kid.
Right, right, right.
And they didn't have that. Everyone was very serious.
That's hilarious.
And they pronounced everyone's name wrong.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, how could you?
Was that like nails on a chalkboard?
Oh, yeah. The yeah. first time, like that first scene, you're like, wow, this is going to be. And they're like, Ong. And you're like, his name is Aang. How could you do this to me?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, but it's enjoyable. But yeah, right. So we've been keeping on stuff. Like, I've been watching stuff on there that's just really light.
Yeah.
I'm like, Yeah, I get enough of that in my news feed on Facebook. I'm right. not about it.
Right. No, I'm with you. I love The Office. It cracks me up. And Parks and Recreation.
Oh, I love Parks and Rec. Yes. Yeah, we've watched that through again, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Parks yeah. and Rec and The Office are probably two. My, like, it's a good belly laugh.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
just
yeah.
ridiculous. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So my husband and I were, like, watching Parks and Rec one night, and we were like, okay, which character are you most like?
Right.
And so I got to pick his, and he picked mine.
What did you get?
He said that I'm like Andy.
Andy. I love that so much.
Yeah. So he was like, babe, you're totally Andy. That's something you would do. That's right. something you would say.
What was he?
I told him he's like Ron Swanson. And he's even got the, it was so funny. He was shaving one morning
right.
and he like did this mustache and it looks like Ron Swanson's mustache.
Right.
And I was like, I dare you to wear that to church today. And he did. And now he's rocking it the whole time.
I love it so much. It's literally perfect.
Right.
He's a man's man.
That's right. That's right. And he's actually trying not to be a police officer right now. And so I'm like, there's your police.
That's even better. That's yeah. right. That's even better. We quote Ron Swanson like all the time. Oh, yeah. Because he's just like no nonsense. Right. I freaking love it.
Yes.
We did. So Bree, I told him he wants to be a mix of Chris Traeger. He was like, no, I'm going to morph them. I'm like, okay. He goes, I want to be Chris Traeger. I want to be Ben and I want to be Ron Swanson. I want to be a mix. He said, I want to have like the upbeat, positive, optimistic attitude of Chris Traeger. I want like the nerdy side of Ben. And the political side of Ben. He said, and then I want the like man's man, right. Ron Swanson. I was like, well, you can pick one and you're going to be Ben because you're the nerd.
That's hilarious.
Man. Yeah.
So who would you say you're most like?
Oh, Leslie Knope, 110%. Yes. Like just want to go 110 miles an hour
right.
all the time.
Yeah.
And just unreasonable expectations of yeah. everything and everyone around me whilst trying to be optimistic.
Right.
The whole time.
That is hilarious. Yeah. I love it. So do you ever like do those tests where you're like, see what potato you are or like...
Okay, if it was a potato, I'd be all of the potatoes. I love potatoes. Yeah. I have a deep, dying relationship with potatoes. Any form, any shape, fried, non-fried, mashed, like creamed, I do not care. It's delicious. My spirit animal would be a potato. Like,
yes.
Like, which Parks and Rec character? A potato?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, 110%.
That is hilarious.
No, I don't usually do those. I liked the Enneagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah, types. Yeah.
I
what
think
are
those
you?
Are, I'm a six.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is like super interesting.
Yeah.
Like, are you familiar with it?
Yes. I'm a two and then a seven.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, I always thought I was a five, which I guess it's a wing
yeah.
five.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the achiever. I think mm-hmm. it's the five. Mm-hmm. And, but the six is the loyalist.
Yeah.
So, like, I am more likely to find a cause. And so, like, the whole thing I thought was cool with that and insightful and that was a lot of my motivations for doing things, I may be, you know, aspects like a peacemaker
yeah.
of a nine or an achiever or, you know, like a problem solver or
yeah.
an enthusiast or whatever.
Yeah.
But it all stems from, it talks about, it can stem from a one desire for security.
Okay.
And so I was like... Okay, and so they're like, well, you could mistype as the other things, but everything comes back to, like, you're looking for security.
Yeah.
So you will be loyal to a cause no matter what. Once you find a cause, you'll go down with the ship.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Right, right.
But they're like, but you want security in that. And
yeah.
so that was super interesting to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, like, learning about, you know, those things. And then I took, like, a 16. Have you heard of the 16 personalities test?
Uh-uh. Or is that the, like, INFJ?
Yes.
Like, those ones?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
I don't remember what mine's, but I know what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. I don't remember what mine is either, but my fictional characters, because it gives you, like, what your fictional characters are. Guess
uh-huh.
what mine are.
What?
It said that I'm, like, Michael Scott.
Ah!
that said that I'm like Phil Dunphy from Modern Family and like, what else? Oh, PETA Malark from Hunger Games.
Hey, you like bread.
I know, right?
I can get behind that.
PETA Malark. Yeah. I'm like obsessed with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's, PETA has feelings. PETA's got all the feels. Right. Yeah. Poor guy.
Right. I know, right? That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. No, I might have to do that then just because I would enjoy telling people what fictional character I would be.
Right.
They're going to be like potato.
Yeah. Cream, mash, whatever.
Right. You're the derpy horse from Cinderella.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're such a joy. And I'm so glad that you came on the show today.
Absolutely.
And, okay. So Rebecca, like how can people get a hold of you if they just want to like chat or they were encouraged by like what you had to say about business and different things today, or if they want to know more about Tea for the Soul, how can they get a hold of you?
Right. So our Tea for the Soul Instagram, we have an Instagram, we have a Facebook. You can email us. So our Tea for the Soul is just the handle Tea for the Soul on Instagram, Facebook, and then our email is teaforthesoul@yahoo.com. Okay. And then if you're looking for me, it's Rebecca Rein on Instagram, REBEKKA_REYN,
okay.
As in Rebecca Reynolds. But I'm on there as well. But okay. Yeah, you can definitely reach us through like I said, Tea for the Soul, we do email, text, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you again. You're such a joy, and I'm just going to be praying for Tea for the Soul, and I know that God's going to continue to flourish it because it's amazing. So
absolutely. We're excited.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye, guys.